The Winn-Dixie supermarket chain filed for bankruptcy yesterday. The company's 920 stores remain open across the southeastern United States and in the Bahamas, for now. But the reorganization plans make it look likely that many of them will soon be closed. If they are, the once popular name Dixie will lose a little more ground in the South. Winn-Dixie can blame its defeat on the spread of Walmart supercenters, but the term itself faces a more complicated fate. Joining us now is John Shelton Reed, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He's with us from his home in Chapel Hill. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Part of your scholarship involved constructing maps of the cultural South using various criteria, one of which was the prevalence of businesses with Dixie in their name. Can you tell us how that worked?
Right. I was looking for a cheap and easy way to define the borders of the South, and one way to do that occurred to me was to look at business names. So I looked at things named Southern This and Southern That and got a map that made a lot of sense. Basically, people in the South are more likely to name things Southern This and Southern That. And while I was at it, I looked at Dixie and some other names as well. Dixie was a little more hardcore than Southern.
Mm-hmm.
Associated historically, of course, with the Confederacy.
Yes.
And you didn't find a lot of Dixie businesses up in the southern mountains, which weren't all that wild about the Confederacy in 1860, and 100 years later still weren't. The thing that surprised me, I first did this about 1970, and then I came back nearly 20 years later and did it again. And Southern was hanging on strong and pretty much where it was before, but Dixie had begun to fade over that 18-year period. There were, in absolute numbers, fewer businesses named Dixie in the later period than in the earlier one.
Substantially fewer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And basically it was, before it had been a fairly coherent region with its core in the deep South from South Carolina around to Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
But by 1990, it was pretty much a thing of shreds and patches. Even Alabama, which still says on its license plates, the heart of Dixie, although the lettering's gotten smaller and smaller over the years. even in Alabama, there were fewer Dixie entries by 1990 than there had been in 1970. It was hanging on in Mississippi. And in much of Georgia outside of Atlanta.
We're talking with John Shelton Reed about the decreasing use of the word Dixie. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, as I understand it, Winn-Dixie got its name in 1955 when it acquired an older grocery chain called Dixie Home Stores. Did Dixie have a heyday in business names, do you think?
I think it did. I don't have the numbers on it, but obviously, nothing was called Dixie before 1860 or so, when the song became the sort of unofficial anthem of the Confederacy. My guess is it probably flourished in the period around 1900, 1910.
Why do you think it's losing popularity?
Well, if there are fewer, and there are fewer businesses with it, there are two possibilities. One is that people are changing the names of businesses. I don't think that's happening very often. The other possibility is that businesses are going out of business and new ones aren't using it, and I think that's probably what's happening. One reason is that it has these associations, which, you know, in 1910 were probably good for business. By 1990, things have become a little more equivocal. I mean, black Southerners, for example, at best ambivalent about the word Dixie.
At best.
Migrants to the South, of whom we have a great many in some parts, it's just a mystery to them. They don't know what it's all about. Certainly don't. If they have any feelings at all, they're probably negative toward symbols of the Confederacy. And
I wonder, you said it, you were looking for cheap and easy ways to make a cultural map or a map of the cultural South. What were some of the best criteria? You mentioned use of the word Southern in business titles.
Yeah, that one actually gives a map of the South that makes perfect sense. You know, if it hadn't, I would have scrapped the technique rather than my common sense understanding of where the South is. But you know, there's a core. Basically, if you look at where it's in common use, you get 13 states, the former 11 former Confederate states in Kentucky and Oklahoma.
I wonder if you'd tried a botanical approach and just mapped for kudzu.
Actually, a geographer at the University of South Carolina has done that, and it's a beautiful map. I mean, you find kudzu in East Texas, but not West Texas. You don't find it in South Florida, but you do in North Florida. You don't find it in the Virginia suburbs of Washington, or you didn't. I gather as climate warms, kudzu's moving north.
Indeed, it is.
No, kudzu is a great great way to map the South. Our irony there, of course, is we didn't have kudzu before 1876. It's a Japanese import that was sort of taken over and made our own, or it's taken us over.
Why don't we call it Dixie Zoo or something? Anyway, John Shelton Reed, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
John Shelton Reed, a professor emeritus at UNC Chapel Hill, most recently the author of a book of essays called Minding the South. He joined us from his home in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.
Well, the weaver William was a gay deceiver. Look away.